If you're glad to be at Equip 2018, say amen one more time. I need to inform you tonight and remind others that we serve an awesome God tonight. We serve an awesome God tonight. I'm fishing for a witness. I surely shouldn't have to use this much bait while I'm fishing. We serve an awesome God tonight. If you judge him by his height, you'll find there's none his size. If you put him in a grave, he'll surely rise. He walked on the water and didn't get wet. He went through the fire and didn't even sweat. He's an awesome God tonight. If your God's not working for you, you ought to try my God, for my God is an awesome God. He reigns, rules, and has regency in heaven and here on earth. And we are the benefactors of all of his bountiful blessings, and we ought to be sure enough grateful. Words are not readily accessible in my meager vocabulary to express my profound gratitude to be again a participant in Equip 2018. It's one of the highlights of my ministerial career that I've been privileged to serve on the board, the committee, for the last 12 years for this great conference. It has been one of the highlights of my year and my ministry here in Orlando to work with these distinguished gentlemen, fellow preachers and custodians of the gospel, who work so interfatigably and laboriously behind the scenes to make sure that you are comfortable and edified and God is glorified here every other year. We are thankful and glad you're here. And may God continue to bless you and this conference and bless us really well. I need to inform y'all, I have to remind you every couple of years, that where I'm from, folks say amen. And for those of you who are kind of unsure and uncomfortable with giving God some praise, and you don't know when to say amen, I will let you know an amen belongs there. And I have to inform you now that my grandson, who's 3.5 years old and bears my name and my birthday, and he lives with me, and when the church is quiet at home where I preach in Orlando, he'll just scream out above everybody. He'll just say, "Preach, Papa." And so tonight, when I feel like you're not encouraging enough, I'll just encourage myself and say, "Preach, Papa." And you'll know then that's your cue that you need to chime in and help this preacher out. Tonight, let us continue this theme that has run its course here at Equip 2018, dealing with restoration. In your personal privacy of your own praying ground, I would respectfully ask that you read in this entirety the minor prophet book of Joel. It's 3 short chapters, and it really is the foundation of stones from whence I want to build a sermonic castle tonight. I don't have a scripture in particular, but all of it is found in this short, powerful, palliative prophetic book in the Old Testament. You might recall that Joel, the prophet, comes with impeccable credentials. His resume is extensive and complete. Joel had the privilege and distinction that only a few select writers in the Bible had. That is, the book he wrote actually bears his name. Joel means Jehovah is God. Joel is a minor prophet. Joel was a obscure prophet. Joel was a innocuous prophet. He was a evangelical prophet. He was a pusillanimous prophet. He was a not-for-profit prophet. Preach, Papa. He pens these significant words, this parchment, this epistolary, that I believe is amongst the greatest valedictories of the Old Testament. He wrote this book, and the theme, of course, is the theme of this book is the day of the Lord. When he urged the people of God, he admonished the people of God, the ecclesia, those in the episcopos, in the ministry. His plea was simple, much like my plea tonight. It's not convoluted. It's not complicated. You don't need an extensive vocabulary. You don't have to matriculate from a prestigious or prodigious university. You don't have to have academic regalia on your wall. His plea and my plea is the same, which is it's time for the church and God's people to return to our first love, and that's Jesus Christ. Beloved, let me tell you tonight, Joel's book exposes the modus operandi of God. It kind of gave us the SOP, the standard operational procedure. When God was upset with Israel, he often sent a plague, and he did it in this short, power-packed book of Joel. He sent starvation and drought. He sent desolation by locusts. He sent invasion by the Assyrian army from the north. When God is upset with us, he often tries to get our attention by sending us trouble. And those of us who live in the United States of North America, I believe God is trying to get our attention. I think God is upset, not with what the world does. The world is doing what they ought to do. People always complaining about how sinful folk are. That's what sinners do. They sin. But Christians, saints of God, members of the body of Christ, ought not be like the world. It's time for us to go back to what we know and what we've been taught so we can be restored and revived and renewed, because God can use us to do his will here on earth as it was stated in heaven. Preach, Papa. For those of you who are slow, amen belongs there. Well, tonight, beloved, if you read carefully, and I encourage you to do so, God promised through this prophet that if Israel repented, he would restore and deliver them. We tonight in the church of Christ, the kingdom of God, the body of Christ, the ecclesia, we need to be restored back to our rightful place in the eyesight of God and in the concentric circle of our society. We need revival. We need restoration. We need to be renewed, refreshed, and revived. We need to be rekindled. We need to be reconnected. And we have often been distracted and disconnected. We are now down in decadence, down in degradation, down in derogatorism. We have lost our way. The country is sick. The church is sick. The world is sick. We are now drift off into the abyss of self-gratification and self-reliance. We have been distracted by the devil. We are now have more folk in Facebook than they read God's book. We rather rely on Snapchat rather than having a little talk with Jesus. We have Instagram, but we won't get a telegram from God. We rely on technology and no longer theology. We are concerned about how many friends we have on Facebook, but what a friend we have in Jesus. Amen belongs there. By the time I'm done, you're going to get it, so hurry up and get it. Amen belongs there. Well, beloved, tonight, this conference is all about restoration. My topic is restoration through revival. Folks, if there's ever been a time we need to be revived, that time is now. We have a country and a world we live in that has more influence on the church than the church has on the world. The discourse and the rancor we see in Washington now has infiltrated the church, instead of the church influencing the people in Washington. We got 535 people in Congress, 435 in the House, and another 100 in the Senate who make laws aberrant to the word of God, and the church says nothing. We have 9 people with black robes on who rule on those laws and have now come together and decided that what God says makes no difference to them, but it still ought to make something a difference for us. Amen belongs there. We live in a world that we need to be restored. When a man wants to marry a man and a woman wants to marry a woman, what man in his right mind, with all of these beautiful creatures that God has made, soft and tender, what man wants another man with hard sandpaper hands and a mustache and a beard? You have lost your mind. You need to be restored. Sisters, I don't care how many men broke your heart. Don't you go to the dark side. Don't be like Darth Vader. You stay with the Jedis. I came to tell you tonight, we need some restoration. Divorce rate in the church is almost as high as it is in the world. We need restoration. Children now talk back to parents. Anybody in here over 50, almost 60 like me can remember when children were seen and not heard? You didn't. It was not a democracy. I said we need to be restored. We live in a world where we have to sometimes have police to watch the police. We need to be restored. We live in a world where you're not safe anywhere. You go to watch a movie, you're not safe in the theater. You go to the airport to fly, you're not safe on an airplane. You send your kids to school, they're not safe in school. You're not even safe in the confines of your own home. It doesn't matter if you have a dog, a gun, a knife, a machete, you're still not safe. Even when you go to the house of God with the people of God in the church, you're not safe. The only place that's safe is in Christ Jesus. Amen belongs there. I came to tell you tonight, folks, if there's ever been a time we need to be restored and we need to be revived, that time is now. You see, beloved, we've already been redeemed. I think sometimes the church focuses on things we already have instead of focusing on things we really need. We need restoration. We don't need redemption. Christ already redeemed us. He did the hard part. Now all we got to do is reconnect to the God who made us and through his son Jesus saved us. You see, the devil is clever. He's wise. He's prudent. He distracts us often through modernity and technology and advancements. When we think we're getting better as a society, really we're getting worse. We have now been disconnected from the Creator. And now the church has mimicked the world. We parrot the world, what we can't do. No, folks, I still can do all things through Christ because he gives me strength. Amen belongs there. Sometimes I don't believe we know the power we really have. I own a Mercedes-Benz. I just like nice cars. That's just one of my idiosyncrasies. It means nothing. A car doesn't define you, but I like nice cars. I grew up so poor. We walked and we had raggedy shoes and then we had a hoop that with no air condition. Well, we had air, but it wasn't conditioned. And we just grew up poor. Nothing wrong with it. But I promised myself if I ever got in a position, I would buy a Mercedes-Benz. And for the last 20 years, I've owned and drove a Mercedes. I'm on number 4 now. And I love Mercedes. I never buy them new. I want somebody else like you to take the initial hit. I have a 2014 S550 Mercedes. It's the big one. I don't need a big one anymore. My family's drawn those. I just got the grandson, got his seat in the back. I'm telling you that to tell you this. I bought that car 2 years ago in 2016. On the speedometer, it says 160. It has the ability to do 160. I have never gone 160. I did get happy one night on the way from Tallahassee and got up close to 100 and the popo stopped me. Whoa, whoa, whoa. He pulled me over and I had a jacket on. He said, where are you going? And I said, well, I'm a preacher. I put a preacher card on him. I said, I'm trying to get back to Orlando. I got to go to church tomorrow and preach to God's people. He said, you're a reverend? I said, yes, sir. Yes, sir. He said, what kind of reverend are you? I said, I'm the right reverend, Leonard. Yeah, and don't y'all judge me. Solomon said, there's a time and a place. That was not the time for me to straighten him out about. Say amen when you get. And he said, Reverend, slow down because you were doing 95. That's as close as I've come to the 160. Y'all still don't know what I'm trying to tell you. I bought and paid for a car that'll do 160. The car has the ability to do 160. They made it with the ability to do 160. I have power and speed I have never used. Y'all don't know when to shout right here. I say it's bought, it's paid for. I have it in my possession, but I've never used it. I'm going to give you slow people one more time to get happy. I have something in my power that has been paid for. It's in my possession. I bought it. I own it, but I have never used it. What I'm trying to tell you is Jesus has bought on the cross and paid for stuff, power and ability that we have in our possession, but we've never used it. So we complain about what we don't have in the church, but the problem is not what we don't have. The problem is the stuff we don't use that we already possess. Amen belongs there. I came by to tell you tonight, folks, God through this prophet wanted Israel to be restored. They apostatized, they sinned against God. They turned their backs on God, and God wanted them to be restored. Tonight, brothers and sisters, friends of the cross, God would have us to be restored. And God is so wise, he predestined within his providential schedule that everything he made, be it physical or spiritual, needs restoration. We often become stale, stagnated, and stuck in life, no matter what entity we discuss. Anybody in here knows that sooner or later, your house needs some restoration. You know, your car needs some maintenance and restoration. Your health does. You got to take medicine. You got to go to the doctor. You got to exercise. You got to stop doing what I do, eating butter pecan ice cream at midnight. I see I'm not the only one that does that kind of stuff. Every now and then, your marriage needs restoration. Every now and then, your marriage needs restoration. Everybody in here who's been married over 3 days has had some buyer's remorse. I know you really can't say amen right now. You're sitting with your spouse. Just wink at me. Give me an incognito amen right there. Clear your throat. Wave your hand. Pat your left foot. You know you want to say amen tonight. You got to work on your marriage. You got to work. You got to invest in the things you love. You can't become comfortable and complacent. You got to restore things that you love, lest you lose what you don't use. It's time the body of Christ reconnect, because the church, as my good friend David Young exposed and reminded us last night, many of our congregations are on life support. Our congregations are in spiritual ICU. Hospice has been called in. We at stage 4 of cancer. We are now in a position where we have to walk around with spiritual defibrillators, because the church is on the brink and the cusp of becoming extinct. High is the time that we reconnect with the Creator. We need to be revived, and we got to stop letting idiosyncrasies and idiosyncrasies divide us. We fuss and fight about stuff that don't matter. Who cares what color your skin is? I used to be in heart surgery for 20 years. Let me give you a piece of advice. When we operated on people, everybody's got the same blood. It's red. Who cares what you wear and what you drive and where you live and what your zip code is? Who cares what school you went to? Even though we are strangers by nature, we have been brought close by the blood of Christ. And for us to argue and fuss and fight about the veracity of worship, and can we clap hands? Can we wave hands? Can I say amen? Can I get happy? Can I be quiet? Folks, let me tell you something. I am done. I am through. I am kaput. Arrivederci.
Hasta la vista, baby. Bon voyage. If you're at the Southside Church and you want to fight about foolishness, I have learned the power of goodbye. There are many people we try to hold on to at our churches who are doing nothing but holding us back. I'd rather have 300 people who love the Lord and love me than 1,000 people who just raising. Even David, the king of Israel, needed restoration. You remember in Psalms 51:10, after he committed that atrocity with Bathsheba, had Uriah killed, and David wrote those memorable words in Psalms 51. He said, Lord, create in me a clean heart. Renew, revive in me a right spirit. He then said, restore the joy of my salvation. See, Satan can't steal your salvation, but he can steal the joy of your salvation. He can't stop you from going to heaven, but he can make the ride kind of bumpy. And sometimes we're so concentrated on our destiny that we forget to enjoy the ride. We need to be refined. We need to be rekindled. We need to be refurbished. We don't need to rebuild anything in the church. We just need to revive what Jesus already built. You often don't need a new house. Sometimes you just need a new roof. You don't need a new car. Sometimes you just need a new battery. Sometimes you don't need a new body. You just need some new clothes. You don't need new feet. You just need new shoes. I wish I had a church in here to say amen. You don't need a new cell phone. You just need a new provider. Come here real close. You don't need a new preacher. We just need some new members. And Lord knows we don't need a new Savior. We just need saints who do what the Savior has already said. And for those who kind of pseudo-spiritual and really believe you got it together, listen, I've come to believe after 35 years of preaching and 57 years of living, all of us are challenged by something in life. All of us are distracted by something. Even these men, great men and women of God who stand before you, we're just human beings. We're not super saints. Nobody in here has an S on his chest. And if you do have an S on your chest, it just stands for sin. And you know, there's a temptation, if you're not careful, that once you get older and you get a little wiser and you do live a little better, and sometimes you don't live better because you've gotten more holy, it's just that you got no, life will pull your teeth and clip your nails. Say amen, seasoned people. See, life, sometimes we brag about the places I don't go, used to go, I don't go no more. You can't go no more. Places I used to go, I don't go anymore. They don't want you there no more. You don't have the energy to do what you used to do. Listen, I have not seen the end of a ball game that started at night since Jimmy Carter was president. Because at some point in life, when you get older, when they go to commercial, that's the end of you. It's not because you have gotten more holy. You just gotten older and your priorities change when you get older and your energy level drops when you get older. You just can't do what you think about doing. Amen belongs there. This is a true story. And those of us who've gotten older and wiser, and we do live better, thank God, we can be examples. My freshman year at college, I never was good at math, but, you know, they make you take stuff like college algebra and linear equations. And all. Why do I need to know calculus when I go to the store? I still never understand. They just try to weed people out and make you look dumb and stupid. And I never forget my freshman year in college. And I'm taking calculus or algebra. I can't remember. This is 1978, 79. And the professor informed us that some of us wouldn't pass. And not only was he a professor, he was a prophet. He prophesied over my life right there. But I was 18 years old, first semester in college. And this guy was in the class who's really smart. I noticed he looked a little older. I was 18. Most of us were 18 and 19. He looked like he's 21, 22. And every time the professor asked a question, he knew the answer. Threw his hand up. He answered all the questions. He was a smart guy, you know. And back then, we didn't have iPads and iPhones and technology. We had blackboards and chalkboards. And so when the professor wanted a problem solved, he would call somebody. It was always the same guy. He ran up there. He could solve the problem on the chalkboard. He knew all the answers. He could solve the problems. He passed in his homework, never missed a question. And one day I asked the professor at the class, I said, man, that guy is so smart. He must really get this algebra, this calculus. And he said, Mr. Leonard, he called us all Mr. and Mrs. He said, Mr. Leonard, he's not that smart. I said, yes, he is. He answers all the questions. He goes to the chalkboard. He said, what you don't know, Mr. Leonard, is he's flunked this class twice. So this is his third time. So he knows all the answers. Come real close to me. There are some of us in the church who live long enough. We flunk life enough. Now we got all the answers, and we look down our noses at people who are. Once you get it together, remember there are people who haven't got it together. And we should never hold them in disdain. The Bible still teaches that restoration is tantamount, vital to the existence of the kingdom of God. We drift. We abyss. We float away. Satan distracts us. Sometimes we are disconnected because of our own doing. Sometimes there's life circumstances, persecution. But it's time for us to recognize we need to be revived. We need to be restored. We need to be renewed. We need to be refreshed and rekindled. 2 Chronicles 7:14 teaches, if my people, God Jehovah said, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then, God says, I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sin. And I will heal their land. I don't know about you. I'm kind of tired of going to conferences and going to church and going to Sunday school and Wednesday night, and nothing changes. I'm tired of status quo. Also ran. Average. Just getting by. I'm tired of being sick, and I'm sick of being tired. And when I get in that mood of melancholy, I take a nostalgic stroll. I take a panoramic view of my existence and my life. And I'm always reminded that every time I'm in a dark, bad place, it's because I have drifted away from God. And every time, every single solitary time, I rekindle, I reconnect. When I have the nerve, the guts, the gall, and the chitlins to rely on God and not rely on myself. Every time that happens, I get a fresh, new renewal. And it helps me. It helps my family. It helps our congregation. And so tonight, those who are here and you feel, even though church gives you the cover to be what you're not. Church is the best place in the world to be a hypocrite. Church is where you can fit in and play the part. You know all the religious answers. God is good all the time. How you doing today, brother? I'm fine. Everything's not fine. Married people come to church and hold hands and hug each other. And sometimes there's trouble in that home. Church is where you often can't be yourself because there's an image you have to fit. There's an image you got to live up to, particularly those of us who preach the gospel. If I told you what I really deal with sometimes, you wouldn't want me to preach to you anymore. And that's really kind of silly, because I'm sick, you sick, but you want my sickness. Here's what God wants. I'll sneak to my seat. I've lost some of you. I ain't getting no preach papa. I ain't getting no preach brother letter. I ain't getting no amen. I'm just getting a look like, hurry up and sit down. This is true. This is what God seeks. This is what God wants. This is what I'm trying to aspire to. One of the joys of my life is working with these brothers, with Equip, formerly Spiritual Growth. Xerxes Snell and I were invited in by Joe Roberts and Larry Klein many years ago. And now our esteemed leader, Phil Barnes, in the Orange Avenue Church. I got good friends like Jeff Robinson and Steve Puckett. We've become a little pack of brothers. And what we talk about often that blesses me personally is it's the heart that God wants. It's your heart that pleases or displeases God. God can deal with your weaknesses, but he won't deal with your wickedness. Everybody is weak to something. But what he won't tolerate is when you're wicked. When you have a bad heart. He can tolerate your mistakes. Who doesn't make them? Except Jesus. And you. I mean, there's some of y'all who have coffee with God every morning. I know. He gets cappuccino. You get a latte. I got it. But for the rest of us. There's a story. I hear it's true. A couple of miles from here is a major attraction called Universal Studios. Universal Studios, Brother McKenzie, had a stunt man named John Hall. John Hall was a stunt man who was 33 years old. This is a true story, Jeff. John Hall was 33 years old, and because he's a stunt man, the best Universal ever had, he was fit. He was musculature. Broad shoulders, symmetrical waistline. Kind of reminds me of me back in the day. Come on, brother. Y'all remember way back in the day? When I was Florida fine, Tampa tight, and Carolina cute. But time brings about a change. John Hall had broad shoulders. He was symmetric waistline. John was fit because he was a stuntman. Did I tell you he was 33 years old? John Hall was tragically killed in a motorcycle accident. He lived a couple of days and he was intubated, but he was declared brain dead, clinically dead, for those who are medically astute. For people to harvest your organs, like your heart, your liver, your kidneys, you have to be brain dead, but yet on a respirator, technically alive, but no brain activity. When John Hall was killed at 33 years old, his parents, because he was single, donated his heart to a young man who fit his geno pool. They donated his heart to a young man he had never met. In other words, John Hall died so somebody else could live. Smart people will already get happy because you know where this is going. Okay, y'all still ain't got it. John Hall was 33 years old. John Hall died so somebody he never met could live. Okay, you slow people, I'm going to give you one more chance. John Hall was 33 years old. John Hall died. And through his death, somebody he had never met could live. Oh, I forgot to tell you. John Hall was his father's only son. I forgot to tell you, John Hall's father was a cardiologist.
He had one son who died at 33 years old. So somebody he never met could live. And the story goes, after 2 years, the gentleman who was the recipient of the heart that John donated, his parents and John Hall's parents met together. As you can imagine, it's an emotional meeting. They cried, they weep, they wail, gnashing their teeth. And they shared stories, and they got to meet this young man who was living because their son died. Did I tell y'all that was his dad's only son? Did I tell you he was a cardiologist? So when his father showed up to meet the recipient's family, all he had was a stethoscope around his neck. And after they met and talked and cried, as they prepared to leave, he said, "Oh, I got one request. Can I listen to my son's heart beat in your chest?" I wish I had a church in here. If I was home right now, the church would be happy. And he opened his shirt, and through the scar, John Hall's father, the cardiologist, took his stethoscope and listened to his son's heart beat in the chest of a man so he could live through his son's death. And what I'm trying to tell you, all God wants from you and I is to see and feel his son Jesus' heart beating in your chest because he died so we may live. And what the church needs is a heart transplant. We need a new heart. And I'm not talking about that four-chamber pump that lies in the upper cavity of the left part of your chest. I'm not talking about your cardia, K-A-R-D-I-A. He's not talking about your cardiology. He's talking about our psychology. We need a renewal and restoration of the mind. So Paul said in Philippians 2, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. So let it be written, so let it be done. The grass withers, the flower fadeth away, but the words of God shall stand forever. If you're here tonight and you want to be renewed, refreshed, and revived in any segment, any component, a part of your life, a part of your church, a part of your marriage, maybe it's your finances, maybe it's your health, maybe it's your relationship with your children, maybe your relationship with your parents, maybe you have an employment issues. Maybe you're just convoluted in the mind. Maybe you're suffering depression. Whatever your concentric concern is tonight, I want you to join me as we all try to reconnect with God, the Creator. And every time, every single solitary time, I've gone awry. When I connected back with God, things automatically got better. And that can happen tonight for you. It can happen for me. It can happen for your congregation. It can happen for your marriage. It can happen for your family. Trust God. Let me invite you to Christ. I'm not inviting you to no church. I'm inviting you to Christ. We got a lot of folk in churches. We need more people in Jesus. We practice churchology instead of Christianity. Come to Jesus. I find I got a formidable team that looks after me. I got God behind me. I got Jesus in front of me. I got the Holy Spirit in me. I got angels above me. I got the devil beneath me. I got grace on one side and mercy on the other. Amen belongs there. Come tonight. If you need to meet Jesus, come. But
more than likely in this audience, most of us has met Jesus on some level. But if you need to be reconnected tonight, well, I'm at Equip. You know I'm a connected. Not really. If you need to be rekindled, Brother Leonard, I'm a Christian, but I've lost my fire. I've lost my zeal. I lost my zest. I lost my enthusiasm. My church is dead. The singing is dead. The preaching is dead. The giving is dead. Everything dead. And I go home and go dead to sleep. Come tonight. It will be time for me to invite you to Christ. If you need to put him on in baptism, you can come. We'll teach you and baptize you this night. More likely, there's somebody here that needs to repent or turn from your ways of sin and degradation. The prophet Joel spoke of it. If Israel repents, God will restore. There can be no restoration until there's repentance. So if you need to come, whatever your situation, whatever your scenario, whatever your circumstances, if you're so inclined tonight, come to our left and there'll be elders and leaders who can talk with you and pray with you. We can do that even on tonight. Move expeditiously while we stand and while we sing.